Good evening, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon and Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY. And I'm pleased to have you joining us tonight because I think you're going to be very interested in the two guests and the information they have to share with us about Lehigh Valley future, live, work, and play. If you looked at some of the information that was sent out to you through WDIY, you will know that tonight's program has two guests, Becky Bradley from Lehigh Valley Planning Commission and Joyce Marin from Renew Lehigh Valley. Before I introduce my guests, what I'd like to do is give you a little bit of background about these two organizations. They're going to go into a little bit more depth so you understand them, but they're both very much into looking at Lehigh Valley today and in the future and making it a better place for all of us. And I was amazed when I learned that the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission was established in 1961, so it's a little over 50 years old, and it's been around. It's part of a government organization that's made up of representatives from both Lehigh and Northampton counties. It's officials of these organizations as well as citizens, so there are appointments, so there's a broad representation of our population, and there's a board of 36, which Becky, at some point, we'll talk about that. That has to be something to manage. But they're charged with creating our comprehensive plan. And that's all I'm going to say. When I introduce Becky, I'll let her go into a little bit more about what they do. And then Renew Lehigh Valley, relatively young compared to the Planning Commission, was established in 2007 as a nonprofit committed to and advocating for promotion of smart growth and smart governance here in the Lehigh Valley, looking at making things sustainable and preserving. And they have also a relatively broad board of 14 of government and business representatives. So let me first now introduce my guests. I'm going to start with Becky Bradley. Becky, welcome.
Hi.
Hi. You're not a stranger to WDIY.
No. Thank you for having me back.
Sure. Becky recently, I believe it was July, was appointed as the executive director of the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. Prior to that, she had done some wonderful things in the planning of Easton and had developed a great reputation. I had heard of her way before I got a chance to meet her. She was involved in zoning and comprehensive work and management and a lot of the things that we now see as a part of Easton. Becky had her fingers into as part of the planning. And she was also a senior planner prior to that in Delaware County. And I had part of my youth in Delaware County.
Oh,
what part were you from?
Well, I lived in Media.
Okay, and yeah, I was in Nether Providence.
Oh, great.
Just down
right
the street.
Next door, neighbors.
Yes, neighbors from each other, so that's great. What else, Becky, what else is important for our listeners to know about you and your background and maybe a little bit about what you're doing now at Lehigh Valley Planning Commission?
I'm originally from Central Illinois. I grew up in a Springfield area in a rural community and come from a farming family. I attended the University of Pennsylvania, but prior to going there, I actually worked for two different lieutenant governors in the Illinois Main Street program, doing downtown revitalization there. Met my husband, and that's how I got to Lehigh Valley. He's a native. And since I've been in the region almost 9 years now, I've had all these wonderful opportunities and have just fallen in love with the quality of the environment and the people here and the ease of access to things and the quality of our infrastructure. So this is just a great opportunity for me to do something that I love, working with the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission.
Well, and I think you bring a nice perspective, having been in those other places outside the Lehigh Valley. Sometimes we get a little bit of tunnel vision when we're sort of born, bred, raised, and never really get outside of our own environment. So you have a lot to share with us. And our second guest is Joyce Marin. Joyce, welcome.
Hi, welcome.
And you're not a stranger to WDIY either.
No.
Joyce is, as I indicated, executive director of Renewal Lehigh Valley, and that's a relatively new position, isn't it?
In September.
Oh, so it hasn't been a year yet. Okay. Joyce has a lot of background in planning here in the Valley. She was with the city of Allentown. She was with the Emmaus Borough. Joyce, what would you like our listeners to know most about your background and what you bring to Renew Lehigh Valley?
Well, I've worn a lot of hats in community and economic development in the Lehigh Valley, and it's mostly been motivated by, as Becky said, you know, just loving the community. There are really great places in the Lehigh Valley. Before I moved to the Lehigh Valley, I lived in that big city 90 miles east of here.
So close.
And when I came here, I thought I was in Nirvana with all the green, and the and I moved to Emmaus. I had worked for a big money center bank making large commercial real estate loans to top-tier New York real estate developers, and I just hungered for a sense of community, like the one that I had known growing up in a small town in Ohio. So when I came here, I just felt immediately at home. And I, so I have some sensitivity to the other people who have migrated here because mm-hmm. it's a nice place. But from working in business, it seemed to me that there were things that government and regular citizens needed to do, too, to improve our sense of place. So it's really that aspect of community building that most appeals to me.
Okay. Well, listeners, you're going to hear a lot from all three of us because we're all sort of passionate about the Lehigh Valley and what its future holds. Because as Albert Einstein said, if you continue to do the same thing and you never change, that's the definition of insanity. So you can't get the same results. So we need to look because we're different today than we were in 1950 and 1960. And we need to think about the future for our children and what's going to be happening. Let's talk a little bit about the key areas of focus for each of your organizations. And Becky, I'm going to start first with you, with the Planning Commission. What are your major goals, project areas, et cetera?
As the official county planning agency for both Lehigh and Northampton counties, as well as the official infrastructure planning agency, which is actually why we were founded to do infrastructure planning in 1961, we do everything from land use and open space, parks, rec, and open space planning, to water and sewer infrastructure planning, stormwater management, air quality planning, public health, and then obviously land use planning, housing planning, those sorts of things. So,
okay.
And that holistic, comprehensive things that you need to do to keep a society moving and keep your economy moving forward and to provide stability.
Okay, and so you do studies, you do consulting with the municipalities, mm-hmm. you provide, what kinds of things would you provide to them on a water sewer situation?
We actually do all the water and sewer planning for the region. Do we have enough capacity? Do we need more capacity in certain areas? Should we avoid certain areas because of environmental concerns, things
okay.
like that? So we do that on the infrastructure side. And on the other piece of the infrastructure side, we manage a $1.9 billion transportation improvement program, which includes planning for everything from freight, our freight infrastructure, to roads and bridges. So we do a significant amount of that actual planning and implementation work, as well as our assistance to municipalities, whether it be working on multi-municipal comprehensive plans or updating zoning codes or planning for the region's housing stock, energy infrastructure. Climate change is one of the things that we're working on right now as well. So we do all kinds of things.
Wow. I'm sure your days go very quickly.
They do. They do. I don't remember one day from the next.
Well, one of the things that has been talked about a few times is like an inland port that we mm-hmm. would become, and that would
sure.
involve you because of all the traffic, the transportation, the
yep.
various modes, railroad
yep.
or
yep. Actually, right now we're doing the Lehigh Valley's first ever freight plan in conjunction with the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation. And we're looking at access to rail service as well as our highway infrastructure networks and our air cargo infrastructure.
Okay.
And we're currently going through a whole process of looking at commodity flows, what we have available to us, and where we can grow business. And to support the existing businesses, manufacturing, warehousing, logistics facilities that we have now.
Okay, wow, that's amazing. Joyce,
yes.
Renew Lehigh Valley, your projects, your strategies, what are the primary areas that you're focused on?
Well, it's basically two. It's smart growth and municipal cooperation. And Renew Lehigh Valley sprang out of the Brookings Report, which was published in 2003, and it had some disturbing statistics about Pennsylvania. It said we were building our farmland like crazy, and we were hollowing out our cities. Now, we've made enormous progress in the Lehigh Valley since then, but Renew Lehigh Valley looks at four different initiatives right now. Last year and this year, they're the same initiatives. We support a bi-county crime data sharing. Presently, Lehigh County has crime data sharing, and we think it would be a good idea if that was, if it was possible to have that in both counties.
So why isn't it? That seems to me it would be a natural that the two counties would share.
It does. It seems like a natural to us, too. So it's something that still needs to be worked through.
Okay.
How to make that happen. Hmm. And what we call Lehigh Valley United, which is any municipal cooperation. It could be police. It could be trails. We want to just pat people on the back and say, you did it. Because with 62 municipalities, the tendency can be to be parochial and, you know, say, here's the line, and we don't like the people on the other side of that line. And we have to overcome that if we're going to have a really high quality of life. The crime is an issue. The criminals do not respect the municipal boundaries.
No, they don't.
So it's a perfect example of then the police departments need to be working together so that they can catch the criminals and take them to justice.
So within the counties, there's usually the cooperation of the adjacent police departments, but just in between the two counties, there may not be. Is that?
Well, I mean, I think.
Or sharing of that information.
It depends where you are in the Lehigh Valley.
Okay.
Our other initiatives are water, wastewater, that for smart growth, we believe that those assets need to be managed cooperatively and communicated effectively. And then our fourth initiative is Envision Lehigh Valley, which is a big initiative, and it's one where Becky and I work together as consortium members. Envision Lehigh Valley is the big plan, many people have heard about it, the $3.4 million HUD grant that we will end up with a sustainable plan for the Lehigh Valley. And Becky can talk a lot about it, but the role that Renew Lehigh Valley is playing is we've been doing public outreach. So for the last 2 years, this is the third year of a three-year grant, we have engaged 6,000 people and 4,000 in the last year in various ways, in surveys, in many people went to the big meetings at the kickoff at the Steel Stacks. We've reached out and given presentations to almost all of the municipalities in the region.
That's a job, 62.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I am presently available to speak to any group. I've been talking to churches and civic groups just to let them know where we are in the process, because this year is a really exciting year. We've been asking, how do you envision the Lehigh Valley? What would you like it to look like? But now the plans are either in draft form and on our website or presently being written. And so if people feel passionately about any given topic, it's not too late to express that.
Okay, and Envision covers what areas? There's categories within Envision, correct?
Five study areas.
Yes.
Becky, would you like to say?
if I miss one, please. Joyce, fill in. We've got climate, energy, housing. We're also doing a return on environment report, which is a new one.
Let me just give the five study areas.
Okay,
and then you
sorry.
Can jump in with the details, because right. I can't remember all the plans, but I at least know the five study areas. It's housing, transit, food, the economy, and the environment. So those are the big topics.
Okay.
And then from them, there are many more than five plans. So now, Becky.
Right. We're doing our first ever regional housing plan, which is really exciting. The Lehigh Valley Planning Commission is doing that. We're also authoring energy and climate elements to add to the regional comprehensive plan. And a new one, Return on Environment, where we're actually looking at the value of the Parks, Rec, and Open Space Network in the region. That includes everything from the value of the jobs that it supports, because it is a big sector of the Lehigh Valley's economy, to increase in value of properties located near or adjacent to recreational amenities. So that's the first time that's ever been done as well. And then the three cities, Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton, each have really exciting demonstration projects. Allentown as a reindustrialization plan, which I believe, Joyce, you have available.
Website.
Yep. Bethlehem is doing some additional work here on the south side of Bethlehem with their south side neighborhood and the Greenway. Easton is updating their comprehensive plan, as well as looking at the connectivity of 13th Street to Route 22 and some Silk Mill revitalization and adjacent neighborhood revitalization. Atlanta just released a transit supportive land use document that's a really great guide for municipalities on how they can promote the idea of transportation equity. And that's just, it's a wonderful thing. And I know I'm missing something,
you know,
Joyce.
One of the things which is interesting to me is, I mean, it's a fascinating but vast project with 13 consortium members.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
All these things.
So, and then it's a process. So at any point, what's happening now? So I asked my consortium members to sit on a panel discussion, which we have scheduled for next month, for March 24th. And that's going to start at 5:30. There'll be some food there. And it will end at 8. And this will be the best opportunity in the near future to get a snapshot of where we are in the process. It's not like they're done yet. So we're going to hear from them. That will be in Allentown at the Veterans Sanctuary, which is 24 South 5th Street, right behind the federal courthouse. And so we will have a big room, plenty of room for citizens to come, panel discussion, and a very brief update from as many consortium members as I can get to come. Becky's already confirmed. And there'll be an opportunity to ask questions and communicate.
Okay. Wow. And Envision is just one of the projects that each of you are involved in with everything else that you're going on.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And okay. Before I forget, too, I wanted to mention yesterday, the Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation released their regional economic development plan, which is also part of the Envision effort. Didn't okay. want to forget that.
Oh, that's true. I should remember that myself. I'm just so amazed at everything you guys are covering. I want to go back to the environment one that you mentioned, the return on the parkland and stuff, because has anyone else done something like that? Other areas?
Sure. Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission, which is the Philadelphia region, mm-hmm. They completed one a couple years ago. Berks County is working on one right now. We're doing it in partnership with Wildlands Conservancy, which is a Lehigh County-based environmental group. So that's a great partnership for us. They're also on the consortium as well. But it's good information and actually helps boost real estate values to have that information, helps realtors be able to move property, allows people to plan better for park space and open space and do all those wonderful things that we all know and love.
Well, and the mental health that comes from having open yep. space available to you, especially walkable
mm-hmm. yep.
Open space is incredible. And sure. you know, there never had been a value. I have a degree in Parks and Recreation. And
oh, great.
And so, you know, I'm like, wow, okay, I've got to hear right. more about this as we go forward. Listeners, please stay tuned. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to WDIY. This is Sally Hanlon, this host this evening. We'll be back shortly.
WDIY is proud to present the 14th annual Heart of the Valley Antique Show on March 1st and 2nd. Come see 25 exhibitors featuring Americana, including quilts, textiles, pottery, painted, country and formal furniture, toys, and much more. The show will be held in the historic Charles Brown Ice House in the heart of historic Bethlehem. For show hours, directions, and ticket information, visit WDIY.org.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And with me tonight in the studio is Becky Bradley, Executive Director of Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, and Joyce Marin, Executive Director of Renew Lehigh Valley. And we're talking about the Lehigh Valley, sort of what it is today, a little bit of the future play of what it's going to look like based on all the strategic plans that are being done, the discussions that are happening, the envisioning that's going on. And so I'd like to turn our discussion to talk about the most recent long-term strategic plan that I'm aware of is the one that was 2030 as the sort of the goal. What would we look like as the community in 2030? And one of the things that was really concerning to me when I looked at that plan was that the shift in the population to the like 60 and over that is projected for the Lehigh Valley is really a concern, because where does our working base come from? Where do our skilled work? And so I'd like to talk a little bit about the 2030, and then what are we sort of positioning for? And I guess we're going to be doing another study soon
Sure. Comprehensive study.
Well,
right?
This sure. is actually fascinating, and it ties in with the Envision. So, Becky.
We do population projections for the region, and we've been growing at 1% per year for the last 30 years. We project to grow, continue to grow. Our top-end number is 35%. Our low-end number is at about 25% over the next 30 years. But you're absolutely right. The growth in the number of people over 60 and 65 is going to be tremendous in the region. And that is of concern. But it's also a national concern.
Okay, so just us.
It's not just us. And you might have heard some articles or heard some things on the news lately about the low birth rate in America. And that doesn't avoid the Lehigh Valley either. But the good news is that we've had in-migration, but we've also had a fairly steady birth rate, actually higher than the national average for the last several years. So we do have young people being born, and we do have a tremendous opportunity to reposition ourselves or continue to position ourselves to keep the folks that come here to go to our excellent colleges and universities in the region.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting from a business perspective, thinking about what kinds of products and services we need to match to and to be able to utilize the individuals that are here, because 2030 is not that far away.
No.
You know, it used to seem like it was, you know, way down the end of the block, but it's about the middle now.
Well, it turns out that walkable communities are appealing to both young people, the idea of a vibrant down center, and then also as people age, often they prefer to be less dependent on their car, and they want to be a part of the social fabric of being within a short walk to goods and services. The friendliness of running into a, you know, someone they know on the street, and then the nice shopkeeper around the corner. So our traditional neighborhoods hold a lot of appeal for both young people and families, and then for retirees as well.
So the idea is, how do we attract the business and the people back to, so that you can have a walkable community for grocery shopping, for mm-hmm. drugstores? Everything else seems to be out in the town centers.
It's happening. It's already happening, and you can see it in the three cities. It's happening in slightly different ways in each of the three cities and some of our townships. But Joyce is right, and the numbers reflect what Joyce is saying. There's been a 78% decrease in the total number of new construction permits issued in the Lehigh Valley since 2008. And think about this, too. There were 1,291 new homes sold in 2008. In 2013, that was down to 181 units.
Really?
So people aren't looking for new houses in the suburbs in the way that they were. But if you look at the number of rehabilitation building permits that have been issued in the cities, those numbers are skyrocketing. And they're growing at far, far higher numbers than we've seen in some of our new suburban communities. So really, if you follow the housing market, you'll follow where the population is going.
So gratefully, the American dream is changing. 20 years ago, 25 years ago, it seemed like everyone wanted a brand new house on a cul-de-sac, mm-hmm. and that drove a lot of the development in the region. And now the appeal of a walkable neighborhood seems to be something which is resonating with people, and so they're more likely to buy a house and rehab it. And if they're in a row house, they let their neighbors pay for the heat.
That's true.
It's more efficient. They don't have to drive as much. So
yeah, but parking could be a problem, especially with the weather. This
that's true.
Don't bring that up.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, I wanted to ask you, water and wastewater, while you were mentioning that before, Becky, what happens when all this snow melts? And I mean, are there emergency plans for thinking about what's going to be happening to our wastewater when all stuff gets going down towards the river? And
yes, absolutely there are. And it's not just with our wastewater plants. It affects everything from storm drains that you have in your communities and what goes into those. And there's I don't want to get too technical with it, but there's all sorts of combined and not combined overflow systems and DEP regulations for how that has to be handled. But every one of our waste treatment facilities in the Lehigh Valley has a plan to handle those things. And they're designed to handle storm events, which this would qualify as one, when you have your snowpack start to melt.
Yeah.
This is a water-rich area. So luckily enough, we actually have natural infrastructure as well to deal with some of our runoff as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. That's very interesting. So based on, Becky, what you're pulling in from your position, and then Joyce from what people are sharing you with in vision, what will the Lehigh Valley look like? I know there's no crystal ball, but, you know, how are we heading? Which door are we going towards? Or is there any way to quantify how we're going to be looking or what people think we should be looking like as a community, as a region?
Sure. We've seen a significant decrease in the conversion of farmland over the last 5 to 7 years. So that rate of development has slowed. It hasn't stopped, but it's certainly slowed. Our resale market is very high for housing, is very good. And the Lehigh Valley as a whole has always been very stable. At our lowest economic periods, we had fairly high stability. So I think that our suburbs are going to remain intact as they are today. I think that our rural areas are going to have the opportunity to remain rural and have less development pressure overall. And we are certainly seeing a revitalization in all three of our cities, a number of our boroughs, and some of even our older suburbs. Okay. So I think the physical character of the Lehigh Valley will stay largely the same. But we'll see more investment in our existing infrastructure and our existing buildings and businesses in the region.
And with some of the development, like I'm thinking just downtown Allentown with mm-hmm. the sports arena and the getting back the offices again that we once had, we're going to start seeing a lot more young professionals coming back
sure.
to the area.
The yeah. NIS has been an incredible incentive for development in downtown Allentown. And yeah. Senator Pat Brown deserves a lot of credit.
Yes, he does.
For authoring that. And now there's CRIS, which will, you know, bring some of that to other communities as well. Your question, as you were asking your question, I was thinking the vision that I held 25 years ago of the Lehigh Valley was really the Delaware and Lehigh National Heritage Corridors Management Action Plan. I read that, and it explained that there could be vibrant town centers, both boroughs and cities, with green space all around and trails. And that was so appealing to me. And then I've watched something else happen, which is townhouse developments and, you know, cul-de-sac developments in municipalities that used to be rural. And we have Lower Macungie Township now has 35,000 people. It's the third largest municipality. And there are many people who remember when it was farms. And it's not anymore. So, you know, when that moment occurred, Allentown with the highest population, Bethlehem next in line, and for many years Easton was number three.
Right. You didn't have a township.
But Lower Macungie Township outstrips yeah. that, and it doesn't really have a town center. So there's an identity issue as we have grown a certain way in the Lehigh Valley. And, you know, with Envision, we're sort of asking, well, what do we want to be? What are we? You know, what are the historic resources or the green resources to preserve? I think if municipalities don't get serious about utilizing the planning tools that exist, then we will continue to experience sprawl. I mean, it may happen more slowly because of market forces, but the warehouses that go in, you know, they're likely to continue. I mean, there are many municipalities that think that's a fine idea. The way I look at the world, you know, rather than townhouse developments, I think if there has to be greenfield development, if there's demand for it in residential, the thing that appeals to me is the new urbanist model. And it's been very successful in other parts of the country. It actually makes more money for the developers. People like it. But we haven't really had that partnership between municipal government, who sees the potential of that, and developers that are in this area.
Whatever happened to the planned community concept that was so big in the early 60s, 70s, Reston, Virginia, and a bunch of those places? That seemed to be the way to build it, because you built a new community, but you had the town center, you had the walkways, you had the greenways. But I don't hear about planned communities like that anymore.
They happen all over the country.
Okay.
Not so much here, which is partially to Joyce's point. But I think there's real physical reasons why they don't happen here. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we aren't the typical region with one big city in the center and then everything else, you know, subservient around it, right? Okay. We have three cities, which is very rare and very interesting. So you do have these kind of regional draw town centers, Allentown, Easton, and Bethlehem, that kind of serve in a lot of ways or have traditionally for a very long time served as those town centers. But to Joyce's point about the development, some of the newer development out in southwestern Lehigh County and western Lehigh County, that's different. That is actually more ex-urban and beyond the traditional suburban development that you would see in like a Wilson Borough or older parts of Palmer Township over in Northampton County or Whitehall Township in Lehigh County.
And what we see all around the Lehigh Valley is the development takes place on what was a country road, and then there's traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And then the residents scream because, look, there's all this traffic. We have to widen the roads. So in terms of planning to put the appropriate infrastructure in place, you know, instead of putting an employment center, a warehouse or something somewhere, and then later on say, oh, look, the bus should come here.
Yeah, let's talk to the bus first and see.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know I used to do some of the interviews for business retention that LVEDC did years ago. And one of the comments that I used to get was that, you know, having these centers out in the Fogelsville and, you know, all the other outlying areas was great as far as having jobs available. But the people who went to work there couldn't always afford cars. They couldn't always find a way to get to a second shift. So it made it difficult because it just wasn't a sort of a normal flow of business and activity. So.
And I think that's why Lanta provides services to those businesses and works actually very closely. Armin Greco and Owen O'Neill at Lanta work very, very closely with those new businesses and even existing businesses to get bus service into those various warehousing and distribution and even manufacturing facilities. Mm. I think that's another important point is manufacturing in the Lehigh Valley is also growing. And it actually has been growing at a very significant rate, particularly the beverage industry out in western Lehigh County. Everything from Sam Adams to Ocean Spray to Nestle Waters and on and on and on. So it is beyond beyond the distribution facilities and logistics operations as well. It's just new manufacturing.
Yeah, that's well. And as I've heard and I read before, 2014 is the year where manufacturing seems to take its stand again in the U.S., mm-hmm. you know, whether it's coming back from places it went to or whether it's, you know, new, smaller manufacturing starting up. But I'm glad to hear that, you know, Lehigh Valley is holding its own there. That's wonderful. Now, we talked about some of the things that could happen inside the Lehigh Valley, but what are some of the external impacts, things that we don't have a whole lot of control over that might impact our future? Has anything been discovered as you guys have been doing your research and looking at your studies?
Well, I think if we look back, September 11th had a huge impact on the Lehigh Valley. A lot of the in-migration came from people who said they wanted to leave New York and New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Going forward, we can't know that there'll be something like that that would happen.
Hopefully not, but yeah.
So Becky, what do you think in terms of?
No, you're absolutely right. You know, basic things like we used to be able to publish sewer and water infrastructure maps. We can no longer publish those. I mean, that's a homeland security issue for us. So she's right. There can be major external forces or national events that affect what we can or can't do. I don't exactly know how you plan for a lot of that, other than you can plan for natural things through hazard mitigation planning, which we do for the counties, and you can start to plan for things like climate change, like we're talking about now, and promote those more walkable places with you know, better infrastructure networks when you do have times of emergency or disaster, to be able to just be safer and more secure. But it's hard to tell. You know, and I think that's really the trick of the business, right, is what, how far do you go with some of the planning? But things like adequate broadband infrastructure, adequate electric, adequate pipelines through roads, and other access ways, maybe even trails during those for emergency management services is important. Satellite communications, there's all of these things and all these technologies that are changing now that affect the way we live.
You know, I'm going to sleep better tonight knowing that there's agencies out there thinking about this because, you know, there's just so much. It's hard for me to wrap my head around.
Well, you know, I think part of it is the macro, is thinking regionally, you know, as Becky does, as I do. And then there's the micro. There's how does your neighborhood work? Can you walk to services? Can you walk to your friends? You know, how does it function? Is there a bus if you need one? What's the bicycle infrastructure? And Becky was talking before we started about some supports for those kinds of things.
Yeah. Why don't you share with our listeners, Becky, what that is?
Oh, I have a very, very cool announcement.
And this is first you're hearing it first
yes.
on WDIY.
Late-breaking news.
Late-breaking news. On Monday, we'll be releasing a transportation assistance program to our municipalities in the Lehigh Valley, so all 62 municipalities. And we'll be asking for applications for funding for pedestrian and bicycle facilities, as well as education, conversion of abandoned railway corridors to trails, construction of scenic overlooks, historic preservation and historic transportation facility rehab projects, vegetation management, and archaeological activities. So that'll be a really neat funding program for our communities to hopefully get some transportation-related, yet pro-smart growth-oriented, pro-envisioned Lehigh Valley projects funded and hopefully out on the street as an implementation tool for the Envision plan coming out later this year.
So as of Monday when you release it, will there be information, templates available, everything is available?
Yes. Visit our website, lvpc.org, and we'll have all of the information up there.
Okay. So that's as of Monday, and that's any municipality. An example of some type
and
of
school district.
Oh, and school district.
And school district.
Oh, I might have to talk to you after the show about that. Okay. So an example of the program we had mentioned before was plants, taking invasives and eliminating them and putting in native plants.
Correct.
So it could be as small a project as that.
Right. Or it could be as big as, you know, looking at bike lanes or shared bike use facilities. But they really are smaller grants to assist municipalities and school districts in improving the transportation-related environment in the region.
Is there a low number as far as the minimal amount of the grant?
The amount that we have to award this year is $660,000. We're hoping that this will be a multi-year program. So depending on the types of applications we get and then the number of requests, we may be able to do a multi-year program up front.
Okay. Listeners, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with some more information for you. So stay tuned.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture. From its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 on WDIY Allentown listener-supported community public radio.
You're listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org. And thanks for your
support.
And welcome back, listeners. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY 88.1 FM. And with me in the studio tonight is Becky Bradley, who is Executive Director of Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, and Joyce Marin, who is the Executive Director of Renew Lehigh Valley. And we're talking about some of the strategic thinking that's going on in the Valley these days for our live, work, play environment and what we're going to look like in years to come and what we're planning to do about that. And just before the break, Becky mentioned a grant that is going to be available to municipalities and school districts starting Monday. Again, Becky, would you share the purpose of that?
Sure. It's to offer communities and school districts the opportunity to enhance their transportation network through smart, well-planned, multimodal activities. Everything from pedestrian bicycle facilities to, as you had mentioned, removal of invasive species to and planting of native species to help with groundwater recharge, erosion, sedimentation control associated with roadways and whatnot.
Okay, so if you're announcing Monday, is there a time frame? Like municipalities have to contact you by in 30 days or?
The applications will be due in April.
In April, okay.
And again, I encourage everyone to go to our website on Monday, www.lvpc.org, or you can call our office at 610-264-4544.
Terrific. That's great news.
Becky used one of my favorite phrases, which is multimodal transportation. And sometimes when I use that, people say, Joyce, what does that mean? And it's really the connectivity. It's a great smart growth concept. It's the connectivity of walking, biking, transit. And it doesn't exclude, you know, the cars are a part of our life too. It's not like we hate cars, but it's that connectivity. So if you, one of the best illustrations of it is people get on a bike, and if they, all the buses in the Lehigh Valley have bike racks on them. Mm-hmm. And so that allows them to go even further. So the two together.
Work together. I love seeing the Lanta buses with the bike racks and the bikes on the front. I just think that's wonderful. And it hasn't been that long that we've been doing that on a more regular basis. Just,
I think, three or four years.
Something like that. Yeah. Great. Well, I mentioned in introducing you both that you both have boards to work with, and you both are, you know, into getting a whole lot of input from a society that probably doesn't give a whole lot of input without some real sort of pooling, and because people just don't tend to go out and voice the way they used to. And so how do you do that? I mean, you've got your boards that are representative of your businesses, the communities, and the government, but to get that community voice, Becky, how do you do that at the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission?
You have to take a multimedia approach. It's everything now. It's Facebook, it's Twitter, it's website, it's going to people. I think that's important. Joyce believes very strongly in that as well. You know, finding opportunities to engage with people, whether it be, you know, Board of Supervisors meetings, Planning Commission meetings, setting up special meetings. Joyce has even, I believe, gone to some church services as well to get some information
from folks. Well, exactly. Last month I spoke at a group at the Unitarian Universalist Church. And there they said, we're having a movie night within the next week. You know, come to this movie that we're having. So some friends of mine were going. They said, oh, remember, it's Friday night. You know, we're going to the UU Church. I went there, and it was some of the same people, but really a larger crew. And the gentleman who was the moderator, he said, and Joyce Marin is here, and maybe she will speak. So, you know, the first time I spoke to 30 people, and then I spoke to 100. I was like, great.
Good. It's getting out there.
Exactly. But, you know, we want as many people to get involved in the Envision process. What we use, we have a website, envisionlehighvalleywrittenout.com, and that is where we post Becky's meetings and all the other meetings of the consortium members. There aren't any presently right now that we can advertise, but we also have all the documents that have been published. So under documents on the website, people can read any of these, what I think are fascinating reports. One of them is that I like especially is the food report.
Yes, you're talking about that. Please share with our listeners about
that. Well,
I
brought a copy of it. The listeners cannot see it, but it has beautiful pictures. And one of the, it's very comprehensive. It was put out by the Nurture Nature Center and by Fresh by Local. And it talks about the economies of local food. And one of, it has many interesting facts, and I've been trying to, you talked about social media, mm-hmm. I've been sending out factoids. I do an email blast to 1,900 people, and more if they go to our website and register. So One of the interesting things I learned from this report on food is that if every household in the Lehigh Valley spent $10 a week at a local farmer's market, it would bring $97 million into the local economy.
And that money would just get reinvested back in
well,
the community
first of
from
all,
what I've read.
First of all, it would allow farmers to do what they want to do, which is stay on their farm.
Correct.
They wouldn't have to sell out to development because they would have the money to pay the taxes and live there. It also, if they're selling at a farmer's market in a town center, they're adding to the vibrancy of that town center. And many urban neighborhoods have experienced a concept called food desert. And we also identify the food deserts in this report, the places where there isn't a grocery store that's nearby and with fresh fruit and vegetables. And many of our urban residents are not eating enough fruit and vegetables, and it's impacting their health. So all of this is discussed in this report and more. And so what I have, in December, I was thinking, we have these really great reports, and I would so love people to read them. How do we motivate people to read them? So I came up with this idea, and then Becky and the consortium liked it. So it's the Envision Lehigh Valley 2014 Sustainability Challenge. And what we're asking people to do is to pick one thing more that they didn't do last year, one more thing for sustainability. So it might mean, if they haven't really been shopping at farmers markets, that they would start. But it could be anything. And then tell me. Because invariably, whatever people pick is going to fit in one of our study areas.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's something you can come up with on your own, great. If not, read the reports, because there are many great ideas in them. One of my friends said she's not going to let any more plastic bags into her house. You know, she's been using cloth bags at the grocery store, but she just said, that's it, no more. Another person is researching climate change because he was interested in the topic, but he didn't feel like he could really speak adequately with people who are denying climate change. And I thought, that's a really big topic.
But then as
he's researching it, and as he's learning things, I'm learning things. So by taking this challenge individually, what I hope happens is that over the dinner table, people start to have conversations about sustainability and bringing it down to our own personal responsibility and making it fun. And so it's going to be the dinner table, the boardroom table. If churches really start to talk about it, if people come up with activities individually this year, my hope is that they would also start to come up with activities, commitments collectively. They say, well, in our office, we haven't really recycled our toner cartridge. I think we could make a commitment to that. Everybody else is doing it. Or whatever the topic is. And then we could create a culture of sustainability, which collectively would be much better for our environment.
Absolutely. And quite honestly, if we don't, we're going to have problems.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the opposite of that is not nice.
When we talk to the doom and gloom environmentalists, I'm an environmentalist, but I don't like the doom and gloom part. So I can't hear that after a while. I want the encouraged by my friends model. And where we really make it fun. And, you know, as anybody knows, going for a walk with your friend, walking to the shop around the corner is more fun than getting caught in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we create, and my sense of it is that the more we do of that nature, the stronger is the warp and weave of the fabric of our community. And that is the real benefit, is that we end up with a place where we're happy to be connected to the people around us.
Well, and I think the thing to keep in mind is that you can start on a very small level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like the pebble in the water, that it just starts to grow and build as you share with others. So just as you mentioned, Joyce, one small thing, the ripple effect. Mm-hmm.
You don't know where it's going to go.
Right.
And the business aspect of this, too, is, you know, the economy as it is, we saw in the presentation yesterday that people are starting businesses.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And they could just be a small business, a cottage business. Our country has an enormous legacy of people starting businesses. But for the last X years, we've been a consumer society. And I think as we see manufacturing changing, maybe we'll start to see more people saying, you know, I think I'd like to start this little business as well. And that will be very local. So
Well, and if we understand what's happening, I mean, when Becky was talking about the permits for renovations and things versus the new housing starts, I'm thinking, if there are any contractors listening, start to figure out what your niche is within the renovations and the home improvement area, and really, that you've got a market right there today.
Sure. Well, also, the environmental impact of renovating houses instead of building new is enormous, because how can we really dispose of our neighborhoods? Are we going to say, that house is old, I don't want it anymore, and throw it away?
Yeah.
No, it will sit there vacant and we'll have blight. So reuse, reduce, recycle applies to buildings and neighborhoods too. And the idea of what planners call adaptive reuse, that you take a building and maybe it can't be used for the thing it was originally intended, but you cook up some other plan. And I was just talking to a friend of mine who said that she and her husband have just started a business starting to do that. Just one by one, they're going to start renovating commercial structures in an urban neighborhood.
Terrific. One of the things both of you have mentioned, and it's part of your boards, it's part of your organizations, but the collaboration that's required. I think oftentimes, and Becky and I talked about this off mic a while ago, there are so many organizations here in the Lehigh Valley. You just begin to wonder, is everybody working together? Are they working against each other? How, do we need all of these organizations? And yet when I hear Becky talk about what all you're doing in the Planning Commission and what all is involved, it seems like collaboration is strong and alive here in the Lehigh Valley.
Absolutely. In between organizations, as well as between the nonprofit community, the business community, I think the housing plan is a perfect illustration of that. We have an advisory committee we put together of basically stakeholders. It includes everybody from the Realtors Association to the Home Builders Association to developers to the nonprofit community like Community Action Agency for the Lehigh Valley, and as well as the housing authorities and all kinds of folks to come together and really provide that thought leadership on the housing market and housing issues in the region. That happens every single day here in the Lehigh Valley. I really don't think that there is actually as much duplication as maybe some folks would think. Diane Krippis, who's who works for the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, says the Lehigh Valley has a lot of flowers. That really stuck with me. And what that really means is we all have so many bright things and so many beautiful things to offer, and that there's so much of that talent and so much of that energy here, and that if we have a lot of flowers blooming at once, we have a beautiful field that's very productive.
That's an interesting visual.
So I really loved how she brought that to light. And I think that's really how it works. I really do.
And one of the places I saw collaboration and good conversations and networking taking place was Renew Lehigh Valley organized a summit for smart growth in October, and we're hoping to schedule another one for this coming October. Becky played an important role in that, but we put together different panel discussions on topics related to smart growth. It was not only a day where we physically came together, there were 175 leaders and citizens from the region who came there, but it was also supported by something new that we tried, which is a collaborative platform. And it's called the Sustainability Commons. And it allowed people to occupy basically a virtual salon, a web-based application. You have to be invited in. But everyone who came to the conference was invited. And I think we have 55 people. So out of 175, 50 are still connected. And they're able to have online conversations through blogs and post documents, et cetera, so that people can continue to share information and network and collaborate.
Interesting. Now, part of the collaboration that is always a concern or a topic is the 62 municipalities and the 17 school districts. And is it possible, now this is a little bit off sort of what I provided you guys as far as thoughts for the show, but is it possible for us to have a Lehigh Valley that's united while still having all of the municipalities and the school districts? I mean, everybody thinks that you've got to sort of wipe out all the boundaries in order to have a Lehigh Valley that's fully functioning. Is it possible for us to be able to move up and maintain this structure? I'm getting the impression that it is. And I mean, it takes a lot of finesse and orchestrating. But I'm getting the impression that, you know, that maybe we can do that.
I think we can have functional collaboration and cooperation. I did hold public office for 2 terms.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Yes.
In Emmaus Borough Council, and I have great respect for local municipalities. It seems that Pennsylvania, and the Brookings Report explains as a really nice visual, that we have, I think it's 2,600?
Something like that, 2,600
units of local government in Pennsylvania. It's literally a patchwork quilt. And so in a state like Maryland, the lowest form of local government is the county.
Right.
And that's true in many states. But here we have boroughs, cities, and townships. And people get much more service. They can call their local council people, and they like that. And there's a lot of identity that goes along with that. So given what I know about the dynamics of being on local council, I don't know if we can really erase the lines. I don't think that's going to happen.
But we can hold hands across the lines.
But I've been a big supporter of multi-municipal planning, mm-hmm. and the Southwestern Lehigh County plan was one that Emmaus was one of one of the first plans. So
actually, a little over a third of our municipalities are already in a multi-municipal comprehensive plan.
Okay.
So they already are looking at their growth and their future collectively. Which I think is wonderful.
That's phenomenal.
It's actually remarkable. And what that allows them to do then is there's all sorts of state laws that make municipalities that allow us to do things and then not allow us to do things. But I guess the point is if you're in a multi-municipal plan, you don't have to allow every possible land use in your boundaries. You just have to allow it within the boundaries of the group of municipalities that have planned together. So that's one of the major benefits of multi-municipal planning, and that's something that Lehigh Valley Planning Commission encourages strongly, and we've actually written a number of those plans and hope to continue to update the existing plans and work with those folks that do have those plans and encourage more municipalities to enter into those multi-municipal planning arrangements, because that allows for ease of economic development. It allows for ease of maintenance, as well as expansion of water and sewer where that makes sense. And it just really provides that level of cooperation that we need to continue to encourage. It's happening now. It happens through water authorities. It happens through some of our transportation planning throughout the valley. It happens in our police and fire on the municipal level all the time.
And the counties have done a lot of good work, Lehigh County first, with councils of government.
Yeah,
COGS.
I remember when that started, yes.
And so, again, functionally, there's no reason that municipalities can't buy salt together and mm-hmm. get a better price. There's also the opportunity that not every municipality needs to have its own police department and its own chief of police, that there can be cooperation across municipal boundaries of that nature as well.
Or that one township or area may be more prone to supporting some type of business that another one won't, just because of the geographic qualities of that area.
Sure.
So they can sort of share a little bit in that development.
Yeah, Pennsylvania land use law, so state law, says that you have to allow for every possible type of use within your municipal boundary. So that means every municipality has to have has to allow for timbering, has to, even if they have no forest
timber.
Lands, they have to allow for
mining.
Things like mining, exactly.
exactly.
Agriculture. Well, that wouldn't make sense in the city of Easton to have
yeah.
a large, you know, 50-acre farm. There are 50 acres worth of vacant land. So the multi-municipal planning makes sense, because then you don't have to, not everyone has to have the landfill, so to speak. So.
Okay, well, we're running out of time, and I was afraid that this was going to happen because there's a whole lot of other questions I'd like to ask, but I want to make sure that our listeners know of events that are coming up, or repeat your website or phone number, whatever, that they can get in touch with you guys.
Sure.
So, Becky, do you want to start?
Yes. We are sponsoring the State of the Lehigh Valley with the Lehigh Valley Association of Independent Colleges on March 14th at DeSales University at 7:30 a.m., where we'll have an opportunity to to talk about regional quality of life, as well as have an interesting collaborative discussion on the various issues that are of importance here in the region. So I encourage everyone to attend that. You can access that information through the Lehigh Valley Association of Independent Colleges website or through Lehigh Valley Planning Commission's website at lvpc.org. Thank you.
Okay. And Joyce, the 24th, March 24th?
Yes. That's the panel discussion with the consortium members, and that's at the Veterans Sanctuary, 24 South 5th Street in Allentown behind the federal courthouse. We have websites, the envisionlehighvalley.com website, where the reports exist under documents and events occur and all kinds of information about this. Renew Lehigh Valley at renewlv.org also is an interesting website. Becky and I maintain Facebook accounts. So there's the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, and then I have an Envision Facebook account and a Renew Facebook account. I encourage people to go to them, like me,
and
like
learn.
Us both. Yeah. Learn.
And do something different this year and let Joyce know as far as sustainability.
Exactly. Give me a call. Send me an email. Okay. Get on my email list.
Becky and Joyce, thank you so much for taking the time to be here tonight and to share what's happening in the Lehigh Valley with both of your organizations. And as I said, I'm going to sleep better tonight knowing that you guys are on watch. So thank you very much. This
thank
is
you.
Sally Hanlon. I'm signing off for Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY 88.1 FM. And stay tuned for Celtic Fair coming up next.